Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. St. John the Evangelist doesn't even include any kind of narrative about the institution of the Lord's Supper on this night of nights. Just this account of the Lord taking off his outer garment, wrapping a towel around his waist, and washing the road dust, sweat, and God knows what else from the feet of 12 men whom he was calling and sending out into the world to proclaim his death and resurrection, his forgiveness for all men. It would be nice to sanitize Jesus, to tame him, to spiritualize him into a God like the other gods, the distant pie in the sky spiritual gods of nearly every other religion in the world. But the evangelist, who began his account of the gospel of Jesus, calling him the eternal Word through whom all things were created, the Word who became not spirit but flesh, and who concludes his account of this eternal gospel saying, "These things and not other things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name," includes this account that none of his other evangelist cohorts does. It would be nice to have a Jesus who is as spiritual as you hope. But then you've got this Jesus of the Gospels, of tonight's Gospel reading, with the hands that formed creation, scrubbing the grime from between the toes of 12 sinful men. And then, as long as we're being honest, it would be nice to spiritualize what he tells them and you to do. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do just as I have done to you." Wouldn't it be nice if you could explain that away as, I don't know, Jesus telling you simply to pray for those with dirty feet? Or sending thoughts and prayers to those ravaged by sickness, disease, or suffering? You need a good exegete who can tell you that when Jesus says, "just as I have done to you," he means something like, put a bumper sticker on your Volvo and make sure your coworkers know that you've given up semi-sweet chocolate for Lent. You need a Calvin or a Zwingli or a Piper to say, "is" doesn't mean is, "do" doesn't mean do. You need someone who can spiritualize Jesus' concern for the cleanliness of his disciples' feet into something like care for their souls. But then, you've got this Lord and teacher, Jesus, with a towel around his waist, arguing with Peter about whether he will descend to such a servile posture. It would be great if you could take the last bit of the gospel pericope and nuance it into something else. But then Jesus says, "a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." If only you could extract from that the deeper spiritual meaning, right? That Jesus wants you to share his posts on Facebook so that others will know you are his disciples. or that all people will know you are disciples of the crucified King if you decorate your homes in Christ kitsch. But there's no spiritualizing. Love one another as I have loved you. When the way Jesus loves you is to bleed and die on a cross for you. There is no freeing you from the concern for your neighbor's physical well-being when the one who commanded, "You shall not murder and you shall not steal," tells you to wash one another's feet. No wonder the Catechism says the fifth commandment means you must not hurt or harm your neighbor in his body, and you must help and support him in every physical need. Physical need. And the seventh means you must not take your neighbor's possessions or income, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and income. Your neighbor has real physical needs. He needs food on his table and a roof over his head. Your children need their diapers changed. Help with their medicine. Their noses wiped. Their spelling homework checked. Your aging parents need careful daily attention. Rides to the doctor. Someone to change their bedding. Your family needs a breadwinner. Your country needs soldiers. Your food pantry needs volunteers and food. The marginalized need you to fight for them. Your Christian brothers around the world need not just your prayers, but also your money. Nowhere is there a lack of physical needs. Sometimes it will cost you time, money, sweat, blood, maybe your life, simply to be a Christian. And to do what Jesus tells you to do. Don't be more spiritual than God. Your real physical need, bodily flesh and blood need, is why he has wrapped himself in human flesh and descended to the lowest posture possible, lower than the lowest foot-washing servant. You're not just spiritually sick. You are physically dying. To keep the fifth, the seventh, all 10 of the commandments toward you, God became man. Real God with real flesh. Because a spiritual God can neither die nor scrub between toes. This Savior eschewed the spiritual to dwell in your physical domain. God became man, and he washed feet, and he touched lepers, and he stuck his fingers into the ear of the deaf man, and he raised dead children, and he died on the cross. Repent of thinking that being his disciple is some spiritual estate. So he clarified, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Not a spiritual washing, but a real one. A real bath of water and the Spirit in the pool of the font, where Jesus will physically take your sins and clothe you with his real, physical, incarnate, fleshly righteousness. You will love as he loved, because his love will be yours. It will be you. In baptism, then, you are a new creation. You are Christ's and he is yours. It would be nice to spiritualize this washing and make it into some kind of symbolic act that you do for Jesus to show him your level of commitment. They will know you are a Christian by how wet you get for Jesus. But then you have a Jesus saying that unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter his kingdom. And it would be nice to spiritualize the meal that Jesus instituted after washing his disciples' feet and catechizing them for the rest of the evening. The earliest Christians were lampooned, ridiculed by their pagan neighbors as fools. They said they practiced cannibalism because they confessed that in the Eucharist they were eating the real physical flesh and blood, drinking the blood of the crucified and risen Savior. They could have gotten out of those accusations just by spiritualizing the whole supper. It would be nice to spiritualize the real presence of Jesus in this meal and say that when you eat bread, you go up and commune in heaven with his real body. But then you have a Jesus who says that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. It would be nice to spiritualize forgiveness too and make it something you receive privately and personally from God when you pray in your secret room or stroll through the beauty of his creation on a Sunday morning skipping church walk. But then you have a Jesus who on the evening after he rose physically from the dead appeared to 10 scared men and said to them, "Whoever sins you forgive are forgiven, and whoever sins you retain are retained." It would be nice to spiritualize the church or your vocation or good works or prayer or any of this. But then you have a Jesus who on the evening before he is betrayed, arrested, beaten, and crucified, took off his outer garment, wrapped a towel around his waist, and against their protests washed his disciples' feet and commanded them to do the same, to love the same, to serve the same, to sacrifice the same. And so you can't. You can't spiritualize Jesus. The Word became flesh to live, to love, to serve, to sacrifice, to die, to rise, to ascend, to return, to resurrect you. All for you, who are not a spirit, but a person, not a soul, but a saint. In Jesus, this is what you get. A physical Savior for physical you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.